We turn now to legal exports, the kind that were boosting Vietnam's economy before the global economic slump. But fewer orders from abroad mean fewer jobs for Vietnamese workers. Government officials there say at least 400,000 people lost their jobs in the last year, and 400,000 more are likely to lose theirs this year. That's bad news for Vietnam's ruling Communist Party. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from Hanoi.
Behind the Kim Chung Elementary School, on the road to the airport, is a rabbit warren of houses and makeshift dormitories, home to thousands of workers, mostly young women, with jobs at the nearby Tang Lung Industrial Park. The workers pay about $20 a month for their tiny rooms, sometimes cramming three to a room to save money. Nguyen Thi Thu, 20, says she and her friends work at Canon, Panasonic, and other electronics firms here, and all of us, she says, are worried about losing our jobs. She has reason to worry. Her hours have been cut in half in the past month. She now works 1 week on, 1 week off, and others aren't as lucky. Canon trimmed its workforce by more than 1,000 people in December, and Panasonic is said to be considering layoffs too, and that worries landlord Lê Kim Huynh. He says about a quarter of his tenants have been laid off and gone home in the past few months. His wife reckons about half the workers who call this neighborhood home have been laid off in the past few months. She expects things to get worse, and so does her tenant, Nguyen Thi Thu. She says if she loses her $100 a month job, she and all the other young women here will have to go back home to their villages. We don't have a choice, she says. There's nothing else for us here. And that, says Carl Thayer, a Vietnam watcher, the Australian Defense Force Academy, could be a problem for the government.
If we, I think, take the whole ensemble, downturn in global demand, which means no marketplace for Vietnamese goods, crashing stock market at home, which is affecting Vietnamese private businesses, layoff of workers in urban areas. These are ingredients for widespread discontent.
Discontent and dissent aren't much tolerated in this one-party state, but occasionally the people's frustration boils over, as it did in 1997, about the time of the last Asian financial crisis. And though the government doesn't like to talk about it much, the Thai Bình Rebellion, as it's called, scared the authorities to death.
It spread from a few villages and district offices across the entire province. It lasted for several months. It led to burning down of government offices, taking government officials hostage. And people there were not trying to bring down the regime. They were against corrupt officials that were charging 20, 30 different kinds of taxes, building their own homes and feathering their own nests.
The rebellion started here in Zan Chu village in Thai Bình province, about 2.5 hours from Hanoi. Zan Chu means democracy, and the will of the people here was to prevent local officials from stealing them blind. 65-year-old Pham Van Son was one of the protest organizers. The energetic Ho Chi Minh lookalike recalls his neighbors begging him to do something about the local officials. He petitioned the central government to investigate, he says, but got nowhere. So the villagers decided to march on the district office. And when they did, they were joined by others from neighboring villages who'd also had enough. And soon there were thousands of them. After the protest turned violent, the central government interceded, dispatching riot police, the army, and finally negotiators. In the end, Pham Van Son says, many of the corrupt local officials were removed and things got better. Better in Thai Bình province, maybe, but almost everywhere else, many Vietnamese will tell you corruption is getting worse on every level. Traffic cops are demanding more money more often when they stop motorists. A program to provide millions of rural poor with $10 each at the Lunar New Year went bad when local officials pocketed most of the money. And land disputes involving corrupt local officials seizing land from farmers, then selling it to developers, are becoming more common, too. And it's also becoming more common for ordinary people to resist, like these women outside Hanoi, using their bodies to block developers' bulldozers from moving onto their land. National Assembly member Nguyen Minh Thuyết says he doesn't support people attacking police and destroying state property, but says he understands why it's happening. It's right that people are getting angry, he says, with the level of corruption and abuse of power in local areas. The Vietnamese are a patient people, he says, but they won't be patient forever. Vietnam watcher Carl Thayer says the regime is in no danger of being toppled. The security apparatus is simply too strong, he says. But that doesn't mean the party should be complacent.
The Communist Party's legitimacy is no longer based on nationalism or the charismatic leadership of Ho Chi Minh, but was based on delivering economic goods. And a rising economic tide in Vietnam tended to benefit an awful lot of people. Now, for the first time, that's gone down. The competence of the government has been questioned over time. And so one might liken this, I guess, to metal fatigue, that it'll bend, but maybe irreparably weaken the structure so that at some future point it'll be much more brittle than it is now.
Back in Democracy Village in Taibing Province, 65-year-old Pham Van Son says he doesn't think things will ever be as bad as they were back in 1997, when the people were going hungry even as local authorities kept squeezing them for more. That won't happen again, Pham Van Son says emphatically. But if the state does allow it to happen again, he says, we won't leave anything this time. We'll burn all of it. There won't be anything left for them, he says. Nothing at all. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Hanoi.